Welcome to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast with Darren Mitchell. If you're a sales leader looking to take your leadership to a whole new level, then this is the podcast for you. We'll be exploring tips, techniques, and strategies to help you take your leadership to the exceptional level and allow you to enjoy more money, more meaning, and better sales results. Welcome back to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast, and a very special welcome to Mr. Casey Stubbs, all the way from, well, the greater Pittsburgh area in the US. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Darren.
Great to have you on. We were just talking before we press record. You've been on over 100 podcasts as a guest, but you also run your own podcast, which is the How to Trade It podcast, and you are the founder of Global Prop Trader. So you've got a background in entrepreneurship, very interesting background. You've been also in the armed services. So as we talked about before we press recorded, we don't know where this is going to go, but I'm sure it's going to be a really interesting conversation about sales, about marketing, about creating value in the marketplace. So I'm really looking forward to this. As a starting point, where did it all start for you? What was it that that led you down this path? Because it's a very interesting path you've gone down.
There's a lot of different places I could start with that, because there's, you know, I'm thinking, oh, where did I first start selling, or when did I first start in business? I would say the very first thing I started in business was investing in the stock market. And okay. I started that at 19 years old. My dad was in the stock market and I saw him doing it. You know, he didn't know how to use a computer. He was a boomer, you know, those boomer guys that didn't grow up with computers. I'm not a boomer. My kids call me a boomer, but I'm not one. So he didn't know how to use a computer. So when trading went online, he's like, hey, show me how to set this thing up. So I did. And then I learned about stocks and I thought it was really cool. So I joined the Army and I made $800 a month. That's it. Yep. Almost no money. That's like nothing. But I kept stocking it away. Yeah. In the Army, $800. Yep. That's what you made in 1996 when I joined. Okay. But I just socked it all away into stocks. And by the time I got out, I had over $30,000 in the stock market as a 22-year-old.
Wow. And for a 22-year-old back in what, 1998, 99, that would have been a quite a significant amount of coin that you could
like double now. That's like, you know, 60 some thousand nowadays.
So you're thinking back then, Casey, oh, at 22, 23, I can retire now.
Well, you know, that's actually, so I got out and then I had to get into sales because my very first job was a carpet cleaner.
Okay.
And, you know, if you're into marketing at all, which if you're on the sales show, you probably know that there's a lot of great carpet cleaners that teach marketing. one of my marketing mentors, his name's Joe Polish. Over here in the US, he was a carpet cleaner marketer. Yep. And that's actually where I learned my first bit of marketing and sales was in the carpet cleaning business, is like convincing people that they needed to have clean carpets.
Yep.
So I put all of my money into a carpet cleaning business and started on my marketing journey in a carpet cleaning business. I sold all my stocks, got out of the investing, and went all in on carpet cleaning. And the reason I picked carpet cleaning, because that was the first job that I had when I got out of the Army.
Yeah.
And I saw my boss collecting the money. You know, I'm like, oh, he's getting all this money. I'm out here cleaning carpets and he's getting all this money. Meanwhile, I got 30 grand sitting in my stock account. I'm like, I'm going to take this and buy myself a carpet cleaning business.
So that was pretty much the gist of it. So there wasn't any business plan, no grand vision. You thought, well, I'm into carpet cleaning. Why not start a business?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm probably just a little bit of jealousy looking at my boss just doing nothing all day.
Yeah.
While I'm doing all the work, you know, you know, the 22-year-old mindset is not really a great mindset, but I was aggressive and I was a hustler and I wanted to try something. You know, my boss is like, you know, I think you should stick around and learn the business a little bit. You know, it's not quite right. And he was right. But was I going to listen? No.
So what did you, how did you find then? First of all, how long were you in the carpet cleaning business for?
So I did that for about 3-4 years. And, you know, I'd learned a ton, right? I learned about marketing. I learned about positioning in the market. I would say some of the greatest things that I learned is right off the bat, I didn't understand about positioning, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I want to be the carpet cleaner that cleans the mansions, right? I didn't understand that. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to just drop the price and I'm going to go low. And I would get these low jobs. And, you know, to be quite honest, it was almost not worth my time because the carpet would be like black. I'm scrubbing it for hours. And, you know, I'm giving the guys a great deal, but at the end of the day, I'm exhausted and I just didn't have a lot of profit margins.
Yeah.
And so I learned at that point, you got to position yourself to service the markets that you want. So I made an adjustment. I started servicing a higher end. I cleaned up my truck, sparkled it up, you know, put on the nice outfit, marketed the right people. And then that made a huge difference in my work and also made a huge difference in the profit margins, made a big difference in the business.
So from that perspective, were you, was it like a franchise model? Were you responsible for marketing and then delivery?
Yes. So the way that it worked was that I purchased all the equipment from the franchise. So that's how they got their cut.
Yeah.
And then they gave me the training and the equipment. And then they also, I was required to buy all of my supplies from them, all of my cleaning supplies, which they created at their factory or whatever. And so the fees were very minimal. I think I had, you know, I didn't share any of my profits with them. Yeah. I think I just had like a monthly $200 service charge, just like a subscription fee. That was it.
Yeah. And then they give you like a territory, or you could pretty much go out of market to anywhere.
No, it was territories, right? So you get the territory, you stay in your lane, you build out your territory as much as you want. If you get to a certain level, you can then expand and go into another territory.
But it's fascinating because you mentioned a lot about positioning. And I know people in sales today, whether it be a small business or a large corporate, have a lot of work to do still around positioning, because sometimes they want to be all things to all people. You mentioned Joe Polish in the marketing side, and you wanted to work on the big mansions. What was some of the key lessons that you learned around positioning that enabled you to increase the profit margin? You mentioned before you cleaned your act up in terms of wearing nice shirts and getting a clean truck. What were some of the key, I guess, takeaways from that time around positioning, which you've taken through your career? Because positioning is one of the most important things for anybody, but certainly a person that's in sales and marketing.
Well, it's totally affected what I do now, because, you know, I do coaching and I teach education in the online investment world, stocks and trading. And so I'm seeking a specific clientele with my sales and marketing, right? And so one of the things that I like to do with my marketing is I'm looking for a specific person, right? And, you know, it's that whole knowing your avatar. Who do you want to sell to?
Yeah.
And so for me, I know exactly who it is I want to go after. I want to go after people that are working in the corporate world so that they have a little bit of money, right? Yeah. And maybe they're burnt out, right? You know, the corporate world is great for making money, but it's great for burning people out, right? They own you, that you've got the golden parachute. You cannot escape. It's like prison. You got good money. And so I can then coach those guys and say, look, you're making good money now. I can help you replace that income and teach you how to invest and trade, replace your income and give you the freedom that you want. And right. And so there's two different markets for me to go after. I can go after the traders that are, you know, not talking negative about any traders. Okay. But, you know, they're like playing the lottery. They're going to the casino. They've got $5, or maybe they're 65 years old. They're ready to retire and they're $1 million in debt and they are living on Social Security and they got no money. Yep. Right. And they jump into the market hoping that there's going to be a miracle Hail Mary pass that's going to get them a life of freedom. And I feel for those guys because I've sat and I've had coffee with them. You know, they're in a tough situation, but I don't want those guys as my customer, right? For one, their success rate is going to be really low because their back is against the wall. Mm. And for two is they cannot pay me a good a good living, right? They can't pay me. So I have a very specific avatar. I know who I'm targeting.
Yeah. And that's something that a lot of businesses don't spend enough time on. So how long did it take for you, even going back to in the carpet cleaning business, how did you make that transition from cleaning those houses that you thought was not profitable and you're thinking, what am I doing this, to now turning around and saying, no, that is now my ideal customer, that is my avatar, to then increase that profitability?
Well, I think for me, I'm a very big risk taker, which I love that type of personality. Not necessarily good for investing and trading, because I get beat up a lot. Same with business, I get beat up a lot. But I do have a perseverance side of me and a passion side. So I would say the answer to that is just simply getting beat up so many times and finally figuring it out. You know, once you get beat up enough, you eventually change. At least that's the only way I can change. I try to change without getting beat up, but it just doesn't seem to happen.
Well, everybody's on their own journey, right? So you're probably on your own journey. You're getting beaten up, but every time you get knocked down, remember Les Brown used to always say, if you get knocked down, make sure you get knocked down on your back, so at least you can look up. Because you can look up, you can get up. If you can get up, you can get going, which is a great example of perseverance. But anybody that goes through any sort of growth, and sometimes people want to get there, and you've probably seen this as well in your career dealing with people who want to trade. They want the quick fix. They want almost the guarantee that if I throw money into this strategy or into this particular area, I'm going to get a guarantee of a return, so I can almost have, you know, those perfect results. You're going to have to make some sacrifice. You're going to have to take some risks, and you're going to have to get beaten up. What's a lesson from that? What's a lesson from that that you can take forward?
You know, that's a great question, Darren. And I honestly feel like the growth happens in the dark.
Yeah.
Right. And what I mean by that is, you know, you look at a seed, right? You plant that seed and it goes into the darkness, and then it gets moisture, and then the sunlight hits it, and then it sprouts. And I feel like for me, the darkest times where I'm getting crushed, squeezed, broken, and that's not the popular stuff you see on marketing channels, like follow my 3-step system and you're going to have great success. Yeah. But for me, that really difficult, crushing time is where I've done the most growth. And it's not fun, but if you keep pushing through and you look towards your destination and you just don't give up and you keep working and moving forward, you're going to get through it. It's the highs and the lows. And when you come out, you're going to be stronger, better, smarter, and you're going to do better next time. And one other thing I would say is, you know, when you get success in something, and I've been doing this a long time now, since 96,
but you're not a boomer.
I'm not a boomer though. When you get success, there's only so much capacity that you actually can hold on to.
Yeah.
Right. I look at it like a container, right? You're a container and you hold water. Psh,
yeah.
Right. And that's it. You know, when you hit your ceiling, you're at your ceiling.
Mm.
And there's no way to improve past that until you grow. And usually for me, that's for me growing, I get full and then I dump everything out and I start over. And then that's how I expand my capacity for growth, my capacity for earnings, my capacity for knowledge and experience, and all of those things.
It's, I think a very wise man called Bruce Lee had a saying around that. And I'm not sure whether it was a cup of tea or maybe there was a reference to Coca-Cola. But essentially, in order to grow, you've got to empty the cup first so it can refill. Otherwise, the cup runneth over and you'll never grow. You'll never develop.
But I never empty the cup on purpose, because it's usually forced on me.
Well, that's it. And that's what I wanted to talk about, because you mentioned before that there's a lot of people out there that will be marketing, you know, whether it's the old get rich quick, you know, push button profits and follow my three-step system and guarantee to get success. Some of the things that you've learned, and whether it's and go into as much detail as you want, one of the biggest challenges that you faced that enabled you to have that cup emptied, that did, I mean, as you look back, was the catalyst for growth, was the catalyst for, if I hadn't have gone through that, I wouldn't experience this. Can you just explain that? Because a lot of people they like to watch drama, right? Other people's dramas, but we need to teach them that there's stuff that's going to happen, and it's okay to make mistakes, and it's okay to fail. What's not okay is to quit.
Yeah, you know, and that's the key, really, is that you can't fail if you don't quit. It's not possible, right? Quitting is the thing, and pivoting is different than quitting. But you got to be careful with your pivots, because too many pivots, you're like a ping pong ball and you're spinning your wheels, which I've experienced that plenty of times myself. Yeah. But I would say, you know, one of my real specific instances is, you know, I talked about the carpet cleaning business. I ended up losing that because of a couple circumstances. I got called back to the military. They call it, I was on the inactive reserve. Okay. Right. You don't know this, but it's in the very fine print when you sign up.
Yeah.
It's inactive. So when you sign your contract, you're actually signing it for 8 years.
Right.
Right. And so I did 4 and got out, but then they called me back after, because Iraq happened. Okay. And so I got out of that. I ended up losing the business, went to Iraq. And then, you know, so that was a challenge, right? That was a challenge. And then I came back and I started in construction, because at that point I had got a family and was working construction. But then 2008 happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, the economy crashed and I lost my job in construction, and I had a family with 4 children and no revenue. And so it's like everything I could do to find work, I couldn't do.
Yeah.
And so again, that tough situation when you're losing your job doesn't feel good. But it was a catalyst. I would not be where I am today if I had not lost my job.
Now, because that talks about what instantly that came to mind there was mindset, because when you think about the time you were going through, and the GFC for 2008 was even it affected people in Australia. Although thankfully for many people, we didn't dip into a big recession. There's a whole lot of reasons for that. But when you were going through that and you look back now and think, okay, if it wasn't for that situation, I wouldn't be where I am now. Can you remember what the mindset was as you were going through that? Because this is a lesson for a lot of people, particularly in sales, that you talk about growing in the dark, and that's 100% correct. But at the time, you may not have been feeling as if, hey, this is a gift. This is a great opportunity. It's like, what the fuck is going on here?
It never feels good. And you don't, that's the thing is, so that's why you can't quit, because you cannot always see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? Yeah. So you just cannot. That's, you know, having a good set of standards and, you know, a moral compass and moral values and things like that, because I know a lot of people that just get so down that they just can't get out of it. And so for me, that's it. It's like, I don't care what happens. And I definitely didn't see where I was going. It's not like I had this great vision. Honestly, I was out of work and I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to try this this trading website, because I know how to trade, I know how to invest, and I know a little bit about internet and computers.
Yeah.
So let me give it a shot and see what happens.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to do something. I took an inventory of what I had.
Yeah.
Right. Don't look, see, mindset. You talk about mindset. Don't look at about all this stuff that you don't have. Oh man, I could do this if I had that, or I could do this. You know, I could start a business if I had this or if I had that. No, what do you have? Okay. I don't have a lot of money. That's okay.
Yeah.
But I do have some experience.
Yeah.
I do have a computer and an internet connection. And you know what? I know how to build a website. So you know what? Let's do it. Let's see what happens. And so I didn't even have a grand plan. I just took what I had and made it happen. And I kept going. And then you know what? Some sprouts started sprouting. I got a few blessings.
And as you were going through that, because it's easy. People listening to this might say, "Well, that's easy, right? Yeah, you look at you now. You're successful. You're doing this. You run a big business, et cetera, et cetera." But how do we try to explain to people that when you're going through it, you've got to be really clear on what that moral compass is. Excuse me, what your values are, what you do have in terms of things going for you. But if you look back, how hard was it going through that? Was there any time when you were thinking to yourself, you know what? What am I doing? What kept you going?
So the whole mindset thing is really, really critical. And it is very difficult because you kind of have two voices, right? I don't know if that's everybody, but I have two voices. I've got the voice that says that I'm just stupid. I've got the voice that says that I'm not going to be able to do this. I've got the voice that says, oh, you're failing nonstop. You know, and so one of the big things that I always go, there's a Bible verse that says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, mm-hmm. right? So I work at taking those negative noises that I hear and I just reverse it. You know, I'm like, okay, that's not true. You know what? That I'm not stupid. I know this. I'm not stupid. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to get through this if I keep going. You know, so whenever those negative, so it's a real active mindset battle. And yeah, it doesn't feel good because you can easily look at, you know, life is always, there's always good and bad to look at no matter what.
Yeah.
Right. So try to focus on the good, because if you start getting surrounded by negativity and everything closing in on you, it's easy to focus on more of the negative stuff.
Yeah.
So those are the times when you have to fight with your mind and not give up, not let your mind sink you into the pit and say, you know what, I'm going to keep going. You know, one of the guys that I, obviously you are a reader and you like to study the self-help type gurus, which I do as well. So we do have that in common. One of the guys that I like to study is Admiral Stockdale, who was in the Vietnam prison camp. And so he said that the guys that would always go first were the optimists.
Yeah.
And he said it was because, you know, they would say, I'm going to be out by Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, and then when Christmas came and went, they would be hit this big depression.
Yeah.
Right. Or I'm going to get out of here by Easter.
Yeah.
Easter would come and go, and then they would just get to, and then when that big depression hit, then they would give up and they'd lose the will and they would end up dying in prison. But his mindset was, I don't care when, I don't care how, I don't care what things look like, I am getting out of here.
Yeah.
Right. And he just hung on to that forever. And I think he was actually there for like 7 years.
Yeah. And not in great conditions at all. But it's a really interesting point there, because no matter what is happening to you, the attitude there and the mindset was, I'm not going to let my current circumstances define who I am and therefore what I do.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh, and just to play on that, another prison reference, Viktor Frankl made a comment like that. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't know exactly what he said, but it was like, they could take everything from me, you know, because like his family died, right?
Yeah.
They could take everything from me, but what they cannot take away is how I respond to the circumstance.
That's it.
Right. They cannot take away my joy. They cannot take away my response. And, you know, that is inside of me and I have control over that. Right.
Yeah.
And so when you're in these situations, and I do like to look at other people too, like, hey, things really suck right now, but at least I'm not in a prison camp. You know, but
well, it's perspective, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cause you think that, you know, I've got things going on that, oh, they're terrible. If only the government would do this, or if only in Australia interest rates are going up, and they have been because of inflation. So if only interest rates were lower, Well, all of that is external, and when you think about it, you actually have no direct control over it. And yet, this comes from obviously Covey, where he talks about the circle of influence versus the circle of concern and the circle of control. We spend so much time giving thought to all the things we have no direct control over that we can do ourselves in terms of our mindset to say, "Oh, the world's really bad. I can't do anything, so I'll just sit. I'll sit and I'll be like that mushroom in the dark, but I'm actually going to grow. I'm going to stagnate, and I'll probably just break down, and nothing will happen." How much of that is was how much training did you have to do for yourself? Because you mentioned before a lot of the different voices in your head, and a lot of it's negative. And we as human beings typically are, I guess, tilted towards the negative normally. How much work did you have to do? And we're probably all a work in progress in order to for you to make progress, to see that progress. Because you said before you had an inventory of what you did have, but there would have been still a lot of evidence in terms of what you don't have. So how did you push through that?
So that's a great response, and I like what you said about understanding what you can control. And so that's another awareness thing. And for me, it's a lot of, probably like you, a lot of reading, going to courses, training. You know, I've had a lot of mentors. I've done a lot of courses, and I've done a lot of training. And I always feel like, and I think maybe Warren Buffett said this, and probably a million other people, but the best investment you can make is investment in yourself. And so I try to always, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm on podcasts, because I want to talk to really smart people like you. I love talking to people and getting extra experience. And so, you know, to answer the question, just really looking at what you can control and focusing on that. And I am also a big believer in gratitude. I mean, you hear this kind of stuff all the time, but the reason why successful people do it is because, you know, they get beat down. You know, every successful person, and I don't know this for 100% fact, but I can almost guarantee it, every successful person has been through hell and back. You just don't see it because all you see them is on the mountaintop. And they might be on the mountaintop today, but that doesn't mean they're going to be on the mountaintop tomorrow. But the next time they go down, they're going to get back up.
And it's a really interesting point you're making, and reminds me of a I follow John Maxwell quite a lot, being a leadership person, and he was talking about an experience he had a few years ago where there was a young person in the audience who was attending one of John's training sessions and got to meet John afterwards, and pretty much said to him and said to John, "I'm so inspired. I would love to do what you do." And what he was looking at was, as you described, the top of the mountain, because John's been in the speaking game and the leadership game for, I don't know, over 50 years. And John turned around to him and said, "That's wonderful. Are you prepared to do what I did to do what I do today?" And so you're so right that a lot of people look at others and they place them on a pedestal, thinking, "Oh my God, look at that person. Look at a sports person or an entertainer or a business person. They are so lucky," right? And unfortunately, society, and we see this in corporate as well, society paints a picture of success because people want to attribute or associate themselves with success. But as soon as they really understand the story of what it took for that person to attain quote unquote success, that's when you separate the people from the wishes, right? And it's not an uphill journey. It's not a linear journey. It's an uphill journey back and forth, and it's all squiggly.
Yeah,
So
I've
the
seen
question
that
is,
image, what people think success looks like versus what it really looks
well, that's it. And
like.
unfortunately, this comes back to almost your positioning statement we talked about earlier. We have to be really clear on what success looks like for us, but also ask the question, are we prepared to do what needs to be done in order to have the opportunity that comes with the responsibility of having that success? And it's not for everybody.
It's a heavy weight to carry, actually. You know, I mean, there's a cost, a great cost, right? So that's a huge point. John Maxwell, I love John Maxwell. You know, I love his books. I haven't read all of them, but man, there is a cost for success. There's a high price to pay. And a lot of people don't want to pay that.
No, what they want is they want the results. or what of what success gives them, or they
You
want the
can't get the
accolade that
results
comes
if
with
you
it.
don't pay the price, buddy.
Well, and that's the thing, right? So in the market I operate a lot in, it's around sales leadership, and a lot of people love to get the title of a sales leader or a leader in general and think, well, I've made it. I now get to be responsible for running a sales team or an operations team, and I'll get the kudos I deserve. I'll be placed on a pedestal. I have the office. I'll have the car park. But it's not that at all. It's are you prepared to take the good with the bad? Are you prepared to do what's needed to have the responsibility that comes with and the privilege that comes with being responsible for a group of people? That's not for everybody. And that's why a lot of people end up going into leadership positions and think, you know what, this is not for me because it's not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and it is a privilege. When we talk about gratitude, I'm glad you said the word privilege. I feel like it's a privilege to do what I do, and I'm very thankful for it. I'm thankful for that privilege that I have.
So going back to 2008, you were starting to dip your toe back into the water of the stock market and trading, given you'd made the 30 grand a few years earlier. What were some key lessons out of that time? Because part of it's obviously going to be persistence, because you've talked about the fact that you have a big vision, but you're also quite a determined individual. What are some of the other qualities you learned about yourself back then that's held you in good stead for what you do now, which enables you to pay it forward to others?
Well, another, you know, and one of the first things that pops up into my mind that I don't know if I've ever answered this on a podcast, but and I've been on a lot, just the work ethic, right? Like, you know, what I was getting up really early, right? And well, because I didn't tell you the whole story. I got laid off, but then I actually did get a job at FedEx loading trucks. And but it was from 3 a.m. to 8. So it was from 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. And then I had the full day after that to work. And so I was working, I was making some money, but I was also working my website and my business, and I was doing all that. So I would say just the thing that I've learned is have a good work ethic, right? And you know, I learned about myself, and this is not a brag or whatever, but I just learned that, again, it's like that paying that cost, but just being around a lot of other people. And I heard the Rock say this. He's like, nobody's gonna outwork me. And you know, you gotta work. You know, the privilege to be the leader means that you gotta work, right? You know, in the military, you learn if you're an NCO, they call that a non-commissioned officer. If you're in charge of troops, you're going to eat last, right? You're going to make sure everybody's taken care of. When you're, you know, when you're a boss and you have employees, everybody sees you driving the fancy truck or whatever. But you know what? The truth is, and maybe this isn't all bosses because some of them are bad, but the truth is, at least for me, if the business sucks, that you're getting paid and I'm not, right? I make sure that everybody's paid, even when I might not take a paycheck that month, right? And so that's some of the things that people don't see about leadership and success, and some of the stuff that you learn during those difficult times. But yeah, just having a really good work ethic. And what I've learned now that I've have kind of And we, this is a whole nother topic in itself, but focusing on the things that you work on, you know, it's kind of like positioning in sales, but there's certain activities for an entrepreneur or a salesperson, right? This is a sales show. If you're a salesperson, you have daily activities that you can do as a salesman. Which one of those activities are going to push the needle more than the other? Right. If it's making sales calls versus, you know, filing reports, right? You need to find out which activity is going to move the needle and then do whatever it takes to do that more than anything else. And if you have to hire an assistant to do those other tasks, you know, filing the reports, doing all those things that are maybe 20 an hour jobs, when you've got a $10,000 an hour job, you need to be doing the $10,000 an hour work.
Yeah. And that's about looking at, going back to the analogy you used before, not worrying about what you don't have, but focusing on what you do have. It's understanding what are those activities and what are those behaviors that will make progress, that may not necessarily guarantee the perfect result, but at least we'll be making progress towards getting a result and focusing your attention on that, which takes discipline, because it's easy to say, you know what, I'll make those calls tomorrow. For now, I think I'm just going to file these things away because I can feel comfortable filing these things away, but I'll get to that difficult sales call tomorrow.
It's so easy to do the busy work. Like, I got to do this, you know, I do it all the time, and it's the discipline, it's focus. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do this. It's, again, I don't know what it is, but one of my mentors who taught me that, Perry Marshall, he's like, whenever I'd sit down to write a sales letter, I always had a sudden urge to go get a haircut. It's like, where did that come from? You know, it's like, why do you want to get a haircut when you're going to do some serious money-making work? I don't know why that happens, but it happens to me too.
I don't know what it is, because I have similar things every now and then about the same thing. I'll go and play with my dog, right? Or I'll go and make a coffee, or my wife's in the next room doing some, I don't know, whatever, crafty stuff, and I'll go and have a conversation with her. And it's the perfect avoidance strategy, but we justify it. We can, in our own head, we can say, no, it's okay, I'm going to spend some quality time with my wife and not make
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Make and that now that is cool. Critical, though, that you definitely have to do that. Yeah.
It is. It is. Yeah. But it does, when it's all said and done, because I want to get on to, you know, building businesses and some of the strategies that you've used to do that, because it has applicability whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're running a sales team. There are certain activities you're going to have to do that requires discipline, but also requires patience and persistence. So it's about working out what are those activities that will move the needle. But I'd love your thoughts on this. But also removing yourself from any pressure of having to achieve the perfect outcome in a certain time frame. What's your thoughts on that? So what I'm saying there is follow a proven, I guess, a process, but identify those activities and get better and better and better at those activities, and the results will come. Obviously, get feedback, surround yourself with good people, but I see too many people, certainly in the space that I work, that are so fixated on the number or the outcome that that's all they give credit to. And anything other than the focus on that is not worth talking about. What's your
thoughts?
You
know, you have to retrain yourself. So this is a huge topic, and I am in agreement with you, you know, but it's huge, and people don't get it because I say it over and over and again. And just like everything else, I've struggled with this a lot.
Yeah.
But here's the perfect example. You know, you want to lose 25 pounds. Are you going to focus on losing 25 pounds? That's the result.
Mm.
Or are you going to focus on the activities that you do to lose the weight, right? Okay, I need to eat X amount of food and do X amount of exercise. X1 and X2 equals 25 pounds.
Yeah.
Make your goal doing activity one and activity two. Don't make your goal the 25, because that number doesn't matter.
Mm.
What matters is the activities that lead up to that result. And so trading is the exact same way. I want to make $1,000 trading. Okay, well, what are you going to do? It's a stupid goal, yeah. Right? I want to make this much money in my business. You know, you need sales targets, but really sales targets will do nothing. They do absolutely nothing. You have to have metrics and activities that will generate the sales revenues. And so for the sales podcast, you know, what is it? Okay. I need to take X number of sales calls. Right. I need to get on. I need to book this many calls this week. Mm. What do I need to do to book this many calls? Well, I need to send out this many emails, you know, and I need to do those things. And then when I get on the call, you know, I need to execute the way that I am supposed to execute on a sales call. You know, I need to make connection.
Yeah.
I need to make the call about them. I need to work on solving their needs and not just trying to close a deal And I want to make sure that I'm connecting with the right person, because if I connect with this guy and I make a sale, you know, this is not a sale. This is a connection with an individual, and this individual could be worth millions of dollars if I connect with the right person. I've had the right connections in my life. Just having a relationship with those people has been worth millions. And so every time you make a call, it's not about closing. It's about a potential relationship that could change everything.
It is. It's as you're talking there, I'm thinking, I hear a lot in the circles that I operate in. You're one connection away from either your business exploding or getting that ideal client. You just got to stay in the game, and it's the activities that you identify that will move the needle, which is the most important thing. Which leads me to building businesses, whether it be an online business or an offline business. Some key ideas, because I know you've got some expertise in this in terms of building sales funnels and growing online businesses and so forth. Without getting too specific, because I know that every industry might be different, there might be some nuances, but some key principles around building a business, whether it be in the trading game, investment game, or just based on your experience and the people you've associated with, that people can take on board some key ideas around that.
Well, I think really for me, the success that I've had has been based off of team building,
mm-hmm.
right? Because, you know, if you've ever read the book Good to Great, you know, they talk about getting the right people on the bus, right? And that is so important. My business is good because of the people that are in it. And so my strategy is, again, another mentor, he said, you know what, hire slow, fire fast.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do because I hate firing people. but after, you know, we talk about the pain, after dealing with pain of somebody driving your business into the ground, not once, not twice, not three times, you know, being the nice guy, you just can't be the nice guy anymore.
Yeah.
It just doesn't pay, and it doesn't help them, doesn't help you. But just the team, man, the privilege of training someone and teaching them what you know, and then seeing them take it and go to another level. You know, I got people, like, I feel like I'm a fairly talented guy, but I got people that are just way above me, right? And I just teach them what I know, and then they just blow my mind.
Yeah.
Right? These people just blow my mind. I'm like, what? I could never have done that. So they've just taken what I've done and gone run with it. And it starts with building a culture. You know, this stuff is not easy. Building a culture, you got a team, you got a culture. What are your values? You know, there's certain things that we don't stand for in our culture. You know, we're here, we've got integrity. We treat each other with respect. You know, I have a zero gossip tolerance. You know what? No, if it happens, if I even hear about it happening, you're gone.
Yeah.
Right? Because why? Because I care about what we're trying to accomplish, and I care about everybody on the team. And we're not, you know, this culture is critical for us. And so, you know, building your team, getting the right people, creating a great culture, those things all really, really have a big impact.
And through that, I'm sure that you'll have really high standards that you talk about, recruiting slow and firing fast. For some, the standards that you have around things like, when you say no gossip, I hear we have no dickhead policies in Australia. So we've got a policy of no dickheads allowed here. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys would understand that more than I would. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Not a gossip monger. Not a good person. which means that the standards and the behaviors need to be really clear, and we need to be consistent and ruthless in the upholding of those standards.
Yeah. And communication is absolutely so important. And again, like, it just takes so long to learn this stuff, right? This is just stuff that only boomers can learn. because you've been around for so long. But yeah, you just got to communicate on the front end. Say, look, yeah. this is my expectations. And then you've got to support that, right? Yeah. You have to act out. It's not just lip service. Mm. And then when Cousin Larry tries to, you know, he's like, he's the cousin.
So make an exception for Cousin Larry.
Right. You can't do that, right? And that's why I've had to let go a lot of relatives.
So have you learned through that, Casey? Don't get your family into business with you.
No. I still think you can, but you just got to be clear. Hmm. Hey, you are like my brother. My brother works for me. And I really try not to be extra hard on him. And I also try not to be, you know, favoritism. But look, this is the standard. And I don't care if you're my brother or my wife. And my wife always likes to joke saying that I fired her twice. And that is kind of true, but not totally true. But, you know, it doesn't matter because this business, there's something that we're trying to build here. And I cannot allow anyone, not even myself, to jeopardize what we're doing.
Yeah. So if you look back on, because I'm conscious of time here, you look back on how you built Global Prop Trader, and you've mentioned things like we build teams because success is not, we're not islands, so we need to have people around us, and success is a team game, not an individual sport. Having quality people, building cultures, knowing your values, communication. If you can look back on what you've done with your business, was there something amongst all of that that stood out more than others in terms of, you know what, that was the 1% that really made the difference for me? Because people might be listening to this and saying, yeah, we've got a great culture, we've got a great team, but they might be giving excuses. I'm not saying that people are going to, if they've got friendships, there might be a level of bias there, but sometimes that goes under the radar. Was there one thing, if you look back now and say, this is the thing that made the difference, that made all the difference for our business, that led it to be so successful?
You know, that is the thing about the, you know, the 1% is it's really critical to identify those key things. And I've spent the bulk of the time talking what I think about are the most important things, right? Yeah. All of the things combined, you know, when you're on a short podcast, you talk about the best stuff that you know.
Yeah.
And so to pick one of those things of what is the most important out of all of them is really tough, because it does take a group of activities, right?
Yeah.
To create a successful business.
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to wrap my mind around this question, because it's a very good question. Difficult. What would be the most important thing? And I would say the most important thing is always take care of yourself. Just keep learning, keep growing. Don't back down. You know, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Discouragement will happen. Just keep moving forward.
It's a great answer, because if you listen to all the great leadership gurus, they always talk about the fact that until you can lead yourself, until you can take care of yourself, you're not in any position to lead or take care of others. And you're no good to anybody if you're not taking care of yourself. And that goes for self-care, rest, relaxation, all that sort of stuff, but also where you're focusing your attention and how you're driving the business forward. Because if you continue to think, you know what, I've never arrived as a business owner, and I might never arrive, but I'm always in search of the next percentage improvement or incremental improvement, then you'll always be in a success-minded business, because you never arrive, right?
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned the rest thing. I didn't even mention that. And that's like, you know, that's entrepreneurs, we don't understand that. And it's funny, now that I'm older, I feel like I get more done and I get a lot of rest. But when I was young, I thought that rest was for cowards and weaklings.
Because you always got to be hustling.
Yeah.
Well, you can actually do more with less. You just have to be a little bit more strategic, which means focusing on the things that we've already talked about that's going to move the dial, and not sweating all the stuff that maybe you can outsource or maybe doesn't need to be done, or can be done at another time. So
yeah, and I've learned too that you know, in your rest is when you can actually get really productive and get your best ideas.
Yeah.
You know, you're out doing hiking or jogging or whatever it is you like to do, you know, it's weird how your mind's on other things. And then all of a sudden you get a great idea for your business.
Absolutely. So as
like you're out of the weeds.
Oh, absolutely. It's reflection time. In fact, my leadership clients, I'll say to them, you know, how much time have you allocated for reflection and rest this week? And it's amazing how many people turn around and say, no, you don't understand. I'm too busy. I'm always working. I said, no, you need to take at least, this is how simple it is, 2 15-minute increments per week. That's 30 minutes a week just to sit down without any distractions. No iPhones anywhere, no laptops open, just reflect on what's working, what's not.
I think you should do more than that. I mean, I think maybe that's a good starting point, but I think you should do more.
I agree, but it's almost like, how do I take somebody who doesn't believe in sitting still, because there's all this information getting thrown at
Entrepreneurs are guilty of that. You know, it's our personality.
Never stop.
Yeah.
But that's where the good thinking time, and that's where a lot of the ideas and a lot of the problem solving strategies can actually really help fast track the business. So Casey, absolute pleasure having you on the show. Where can people find more information about yourself, but also what you do?
All right. Well, you can learn about me from my website, which is tradingstrategyguides.com. And so I have information there. You can get my book, which is called The Complete Trading System. If you're interested in investing, pick up my book. And then on my website, you'll get educational articles about finance and education. And then that's also where the Global Prop Trader is located as well. So it's all at tradingstrategyguides.com. And my podcast is there too, the How to Trade It podcast, all on the website.
Nice. Awesome. So as we wrap, any last final words of wisdom that you can leave people with, whether it be from an entrepreneurial point of view or from a leadership point of view that you'd like to leave us?
You know, I just had a great time chatting with you. And I would say that, remember, success is definitely costly, but it is worth the effort.
Love it. Love it. Great way to end. Casey, absolute pleasure joining me on the podcast. And you enjoy the rest of your Thursday afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Exceptional Sales Leader podcast. I trust the information in this episode has been helpful in your journey towards becoming exceptional. And remember, please take the time to rate the show, subscribe to the show so other people can find it. But also, if I can help you, jump on my calendar, go to leadwithdarren.com, and let's have a conversation about how I can help you along your journey to being exceptional.